Well, we have a guest joining us by phone this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the world that we live in today, in this ridiculously overly politically correct world that we live in today. Some folks are really almost afraid to speak out about what they truly believe. And we're going to talk about that with a spiritually uplifting author, H.L. Hussman. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Thanks for
with you.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Appreciate it very much. I know you've got some books that you've worked on. One of them, the most recent one, called Letters from a Martyred Christian. And it brings up a lot of interesting topics, and sometimes it's kind of right in your face about it.
It is, for sure. The book is about a fictional character named Aulus Aurelius, and he and his family were murdered for their faith in 67 A.D. during the Neronian persecution. And basically, the idea is he was murdered at that time. He's been in heaven since then, and now he's writing letters to the modern Christian based on what he's observed throughout history since that time. And so he hits on topics like having boldness and loving the Bible and prayer and loving and serving people. And so he is kind of in your face, but he faced some pretty challenging situations. At one point, he was faced with the decision of either renouncing his faith publicly or watching his daughter killed. And that was the situation. You know, we see that in the world right now, even over in Iran with Yusuf Nadarkhani. And I think it's very relevant to the world we live in, and it's very challenging, but that was kind of the idea, is just to kind of wake people up and try to shake a little bit of a passion into people. So that's the basis of the book.
Well, it seems like a lot of folks use this notion of separation of church and state that our courts seem to live by these days as a reason to kind of suppress their faith and not really talk about it much.
Yeah, there's all kinds of reasons people hold. And I fight it the same way. Nobody wants to be unpopular. Nobody wants to be, you know, disapproved of. And in fact, at one point in my life, about 20 years ago, I was so afraid of talking to people about Jesus that for 2 days in a row, I was in a hotel room throwing up while my friend was out doing just that. He would go out and stand on the streets of Vegas next to the guys that they pass out pornography on the strip, and he would stand next to them and pass out Christian literature, Christian, you know, little gospel tracts and that sort of thing. And I was so afraid. Like I said, I was throwing up in the hotel while he was doing that. The second day I went and finally got up the guts to join him for a few minutes. And that night, one of the guys that we were talking to on the street, one of the guys who was passing out pornography, took a ride in a car with us. He wanted to ride home and pulled out a little Gideon's New Testament and said, basically, guys, he said, I've been running from God for years. I can't do it anymore. And right there, we pulled over on the side of the road. He bowed his head and said he wanted to recommit his life to God and to Jesus. And just kind of we prayed with him and ministered to him, encouraged him, and it changed my life. You know, I saw that if you'll actually kind of step up for what you believe, things happen. God shows up, and he does miracles in people's lives, but you have to get past all those excuses, and there's 1,000 of them out there.
Well, what would you say to Christians these days who seem to be becoming a little bit complacent in their faith?
Well, I would say, you have to find materials that will stir you up. I've written 2 books now, and both of them have an emphasis on outreach. One of them is called God's Greatest Passion, and, of course, this new one is Letters from a Martyred Christian. I go back and read my own books. You know, it just it's the kind of thing that if you don't feed the fire, it flames out and it burns out. And so, you know, I think you have to kind of just listen to people that are doing it. It's good to have a friend, you know, somebody that will encourage you. And so it's hard, it is. But if people will be passionate, I think if you have a passion for Jesus, that develops into a passion for people. When you have a passion for people, you have to conquer your fears, and that's all there is to it. If you're seriously passionate about reaching people, it just comes down to you've got to learn how to deal with your fears.
You know, you think about it down through time. This is a nation founded on Christian principles, and if you think about it, if this nation were to be founded today, what would it be like? What kind of principles would be used to formulate things like our Constitution, our Bill of Rights?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say, you know, and you know, I've been studying quite a bit on atheism over the last decade or two, and the one thing you find from atheists is they say that, you know, suffering and evil disprove God. You've got all these moral atrocities going on, and how could that happen in God's universe? But then on the other side of their mouth, they'll say things like, there's no such thing as evil. You know, it's all just random chaos particles colliding together and creating life and so forth. And so you get both sides of it, and it just ends up in confusion. There's no question morality, ethics, and law, require lawgivers. They require some kind of standard. And when God becomes, when God is absent, there is no legitimate standard. There's no justification for morality or for why the laws are what they are.
I've always kind of felt bad about people who walk through life saying they really don't believe in God, they don't believe in organized religion, they just don't really believe in anything. I thought, seriously, this is what you believe then? Is this is as good as it gets?
Right, yeah. But you come back to the way Jesus was, and Jesus invested everything in people. And I think you're exactly right in that when you view the people around you, there's got to be a compassion. There's got to be... For a lot of people, it comes down to the great commandments of Jesus. He said two things were important. One, you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, two, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you love your neighbor as you love yourself, with the love of Jesus, you do feel some compassion for people that they don't have hope, they don't have direction, you know, that they're not sure where they're headed in life or what they believe. But if you are unselfish, like Jesus would have you be, it means taking action. It means doing something to try to reach into their lives. I just counseled a buddy, called me last night. His marriage is collapsing. He was a neighbor for, I don't know, a year and a half. But when a collapse comes, I'm the guy he's calling, because when he was there, I was constantly talking to him, reaching out to him, offering prayer and so forth. And that's the kind of people we want to be. We want to be the people that when people are hurting, when they're in trouble, we're the ones they call. As much as possible, we want to invest our lives in the lives of others.
Oh, and there are a lot of people out there wrestling with doubt, and they need some help.
I would say that's a natural process. It's part of faith. It's kind of like I read a song lyric once that said, where there's rain, there's drought, so I will confess my doubt. It just means, you know, if you're going to have rain, you're going to have times of drought. And it's the same with faith. I don't view faith as believing something that you don't have any evidence for. I believe faith is basically trust, and trust can be evidence-based. I think there's good, solid reasons to believe the Christian worldview. I believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and I think that can be shown with the highest probability in history. And so a huge part of that is just, first, A, not beating yourself up about it, because it's a natural part of faith. But B, it's doing your homework. It's studying out, why do I believe this? Why should I believe a dead guy came back to life? Why should I believe a guy walked on water? That's covered in my first book, God's Greatest Passion. That can be seen at hlhussman.com. I talk about some of those issues. But, again, it's just understanding it's okay, but do your homework and learn why you believe what you believe.
Will this help Christians reading the latest book, Letters from a Martyred Christian? Would it help current-day Christians really kind of come to understand more about their faith and why they should continue to push forward?
I think so. I think... If nothing else, it will really give them a new perspective on what's important. Again, you've got this guy watching his daughter killed in front of his eyes and being forced to make a decision. We live in a time where, you know, our biggest concern is, does our neighbor hate us? You know, we don't deal in America, at least, with terrible persecutions. But he will open people's eyes to heaven. You know, there's a lot in there about his perspective from heaven. To open people's eyes as to what it means to have quiet and peace in your life and, you know, experiencing solitude with God. But then he'll tell stories. He's a fantastic storyteller. He tells a story of a Vietnamese Christian, and this is actually based on a true story from Ravi Zacharias. This guy was in a communist work camp and indoctrinated with communism and atheism every day. He finally renounced his faith. The next day he was assigned latrine duty there at the communist camp. And he found portions of the New Testament in the latrines that he was cleaning out. He took them back to his prison cell with him. He started collecting them day after day, renewed his faith, began following Jesus again, experienced a miraculous escape from prison. It's all a true story that the fictional character documents. But you read about people like that, and you think, wow, man, I've got it good, and I really need to step things up.
You bet. Well, sometimes we need to be reminded of that, too. Letters from a Martyred Christian is the name of the book. If you want to pick that up, H.L., tell them not just where they can find it, how they get their hands on that, but also I understand that a part of the proceeds will go toward charity as well.
Yeah, that's right. You can pick it up at lettersfromamartyr.com, and 5% of all profits will go to the ministry Voice of the Martyrs, which serves the persecuted church around the world. And what I'm doing is 24 hours after this broadcast, for the 24 hours following, I'll be also offering a free paperback copy that I will send with any orders. It'll be everything that comes off the website will be a signed copy. And that'll just be a gift copy that your listeners can give away. They can also pick it up at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, anywhere that books are sold.
All the places they're used to going.
That's good. Right.
Well, thanks a lot for your time today, and continue spreading the message.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the time.